Proverbs 29:1. Stand with me, if you will. I'm going to read this verse out loud. We're going to turn to another passage of Scripture, but let's read this one first. Proverbs 29:1, it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, flip back to the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 3, the text scripture is the one from Proverbs. Now we're going to use an illustration from the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 16, and the Bible says this, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go." Look back at me, if you will, please. I call the sermon this morning, Constantly Corrected. Constantly Corrected. The text verse is honestly from Proverbs 29:1, where it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." We're about to rehearse a little of the story of the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Egypt and what it took for God to get them out of that captivity. But the whole lesson is built around this thought, constantly corrected. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work in our midst. I'm only a human being. Those listening, again, they're just frail. They're just people. But God, your book is beyond us. It's supernatural. It can do what we cannot. So we ask that thy spirit and thy book be exalted, and that today you do a powerful, powerful work. Do something that is lasting in the lives of our people. Help them to know that you love them and that I love them. And therefore a sermon of this sort is preached. We want you glorified and our people purified, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. What we just read in Exodus chapter 3 is a portion of a very large story. The children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. They were in captivity to a man by the name of the Pharaoh. He was the king of Egypt. God raises up a deliverer. That deliverer's name is Moses. And God instructs Moses to gather the elders of Israel together and tell them, I've chosen for you to lead these people into the promised land. And God said, but I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. And God said in verse number 19, he said, I know Pharaoh's not going to let you leave that captivity easily, Moses. Tell the people that it's going to be okay. Because I will convince, I will correct Pharaoh to the point that he will let you go. But it's going to be quite the process. God said, I'll use some wonders, I'll use some amazing things to try to convince Pharaoh to let you go. And God tried a lot of things. Understand, God's people are in captivity. God wants them to come out of captivity. Moses is representing them to the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's not wanting to let these people go. They were his slave labor. Pharaoh was corrected in a process of events. The Bible says in Exodus 7:14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Here, God corrected Pharaoh, but Pharaoh refused to do what the correction was supposed to cause him to do. God uses Moses and some other tactics, and God begins to correct Pharaoh. And he's trying to get Pharaoh's attention. He's trying to get Pharaoh to let those people go. In Exodus chapter 7, verse number 20, the Bible says that God turned all the water into blood. So God had said, let the people go, and Pharaoh would not let the people go. And God said, okay, then I'm going to bring some correction your way, and I'll try to correct your wrong thinking, if you will. I'm going to try to get you on track to do the right thing. Let those people go, and he wouldn't. And so the water turned to blood. I'm talking about all the water turned to blood. The fish died. It stank. There was not water to drink. But Pharaoh would not let that correction fix his heart. That correction that came from God did not change the mind of Pharaoh. So God, in Exodus 8:6, he brought frogs into the land. And I'm talking about there were frogs on the inside of their homes and on the outside of their homes and in their beds and in their food. And I know Mrs. Owens can be startled by one spider or a frog. Every once in a while, I'll find one in the yard. I'll bring it in to share it with her. She's never excited about that one frog that I brought in to share my finding with her. Can you imagine? They're everywhere. I mean, they're so thick you can't even walk through them. You say, that sounds outrageous. No, it's not outrageous. They were the land was cursed with these frogs. They were everywhere. And God said, you know, I'm going to correct you, Pharaoh, and I'm going to bring some frogs into life. And what are you going to do about it? And he didn't let that didn't change his mind. He didn't change his ways. He didn't change his way of thinking. And then God said, then I'm going to bring lice. The Bible says that lice came like the dust of the wind. Now, here in our state, we don't see dust like it's available. But if you've ever been somewhere where there are no trees and there's no grass and there's sand everywhere, and not just sand, I'm talking about dirt and dust, boy, it can be. Okay, you know how thick our fog can get sometimes? You can't see through it. You get the right soil and things when the wind's blowing, and the dust, it's like our fog. It's that thick. But the Bible says that the lice came as thick as the dust. I mean, that's pretty thick. Lice and flies and all of this. And God said, Pharaoh, I want to get your attention. I'm going to correct you again. He said, I tried to correct you with the water turning to blood, and I tried to correct you with the frogs, and I tried now to correct you with the lice. And then the Bible says in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 8, they brought swarms of flies. You say, why? Well, you start with lice, they turn into flies. And as many lice as there were that many flies. And they were everywhere. Now, flies can get on your nerves. You could just go for a picnic and have that fly on your apple pie and then over on your sandwich. It gets on your nerves after a while, but these were massive. I mean, you looked at your marshmallow and you thought you had a chocolate-covered marshmallow, but there wasn't any chocolate. It was just doused with flies. It was a bad situation. The Bible says that God, in an effort to correct him, brought the flies, and then there was disease or mange that came upon their cattle. And upon their oxen and their sheep and their camels and their donkeys and the smell and the stench of all of this. And God said, I'm trying to get your attention, Pharaoh. I'm correcting you. Now listen to me. Let me correct you. And I'm trying to help you. But Pharaoh would not change his course. He would not change his mind. He would not change what he's doing. Then the Bible says that God allowed boils from the top of their head all the way to the bottom of their feet. Now, one boil's bad enough. Just one boil. Can you imagine the body being covered with these boils? To walk or to move it was terrible. And God said, I'm trying to get your attention, Pharaoh. I'm going to correct you. I'm trying to correct the way you're thinking. I'm going to try to correct something you're doing. I'm going to try to correct the direction that you're going in life. But he wouldn't listen. The Bible says that hailstorm came, and it was hail mingled with fire coming out of the sky. And it killed people, and it killed the plants, and we're talking about broken trees because of such a terrible storm. The Bible even says that there came a moment when God brought locusts into the land. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 12. They swarmed the land and ate the plants and their crops. And each one of these things, I mean, I'm talking about water to blood. God said, I'm going to try to correct you. And then the frogs, God said, I'm trying to correct the way you're thinking. And then the dust as if it were lice. And God said, I'm trying to correct the way you're thinking. And the flies and the disease and the boils and the hailstorm and the locusts. And then darkness came. And the Bible says it was so dark you could feel it. It was so dark that God pulled the light out of things. And he was trying to get Pharaoh corrected. He said, I want you to change the way you're thinking, change the way you're behaving, change what you're doing. God was saying, I'm trying to get your attention. Finally, the Bible says that the firstborn child of every one of the Egyptians would die if they did not submit to God. And they did not. And they woke one morning and the firstborn children were all dead. What a mess. What a mess. Now, listening to the story, I want to remind you of our text verse, Proverbs 29:1. It says, he that being often reproved. He that being often reproved. God had tried to correct and tried to correct and tried to correct and tried to correct. And Pharaoh did not listen. Now, finally, when they've got a bunch of dead children now on their hands, he was corrected. But even then, if you know the story, the children of Israel let out of bondage and they took off and they got up the road and Pharaoh said, I've changed my mind. Now, I want to stop here. I'm going to throw in a little piece of child rearing advice. God is not like the average parent. The average parent says, you do that again, I'll tan your hide. A minute later, the same issue, mom says, you do that again, I'll tan your hide. 3 minutes later, you do that again, I'll tan your hide. Well, when are you going to get started on the tanning? Your kids know you're not telling the truth and it's just an empty threat. So you all know, God makes no empty threats. If God says, I'm going to slap the snot out of you, boy, you better be expecting the snot slapped out of you somewhere along the line by God. God don't pull a bunch of punches. Now, he's merciful and he's kind and he's loving, but you need to know if God tells you to stop it, it might be a good idea for you to stop it. Because God's not one of those parents that say it over and over and over and over and over again, and the child says, I've heard this, I've heard this, I've heard this. She's not going to do anything. I know she's not going to do anything. He says this over and over and over again. I'm going to get my way. Well, constantly corrected. God doesn't work quite that way. Let me ask you a question. Are you in the process now in your life of facing some repetitive correction by God? You know, why don't you decide to learn without having to go through blood in the water and flies in the air and frogs in your Fruit Loops? Now, let me tell you who you're hurting by not allowing God to get you corrected, to get you refocused, to get you back on track, to get you thinking and doing and behaving the way you're hurting yourself. And you hurt your family, and you hurt your future, and I might add, you hurt the cause of Christ, you hurt your church. You need that when God is trying to correct you, you need to listen to that correction and let it affect you, let it change you. Hey, do you frequently face heartache and pain and loss as a result of God trying to correct you, but you behaving like Pharaoh did? God said, I'm going to correct you. And whatever was brought into that life of Pharaoh, it did not correct him. And let me tell you all something. If there's something that God's trying to correct you about, you better learn it. And you say, I know people, I'm going to change churches. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what church you're in. If there's something God wants you to learn, He can get you at that other church too. You say, well, I'm gonna leave the United States of America. Well, did you know that God is in the Philippines too, and God is in England? I don't care where you run, if God wants you to learn a lesson, you're gonna learn it. And you're far better off just letting Him teach you that lesson. I can remember my dad saying to me one day, son, I'm gonna have to correct you. And he began to, and I didn't want to hold still for the correcting. And my dad said, son, if you don't hold still, there's gonna be parts of you that get the correction that weren't intended to get the correction. And no matter what geography I moved, he was able to move with me. And you say, hey, you can run from God all you want. If God's trying to correct you, He's going to correct you. And it doesn't matter where you're at or who you're with, God has the ability to correct you. What's in your life that you must be constantly corrected about? I'm going to talk to you about that thought, constantly corrected. And folks, God, again, is not like parents that will threaten but not do anything. Sooner or later, God's going to spank you more heavily than, I know, more heavily than I want to see you spanked. I mean, I love the people in my church. I don't want God to have to turn you over his knee and spank you. He does that because he loves you. I mean, a parent that corrects their child, and if they're doing it right, it's because they love them. They want to help them. Let me ask you, are you constantly corrected? You say, well, how would God go about this correction? Well, God has a way of using the Word of God to correct us. You know, the Word of God, you can look right in the Bible and you'll read something and it'll say something to you. And though God may not speak to you audibly, you might be reading a verse that's saying to you, stop this. And it might be good that you listen to the Word of God when it speaks to you. It's one of the ways God will correct you. God's Spirit will correct you. And God's Spirit always agrees with God's Word. Hey, has the Spirit of God prompted you to change your direction? Has the Spirit of God prompted you to get something right with Him? The preaching does it. You know, the preaching of the Word of God can get on us. It can correct us. And, you know, there have been times when, well, I had a man said to me, and I'd never tell you in a million years who, he'll know who he is. He said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you about something." And I said, "Sure." So we set up an appointment. He came to church on Sunday. We were going to meet on Monday or Tuesday. And then he told me after church on Sunday, he said, "We won't need to meet." I said, "Why not?" He said, "You took care of it during the preaching today." I said, "I did." He said, "You did." I said, and he said, "Well, I was doing thus and so, and it was made very clear to me that I needed to work on that. And so we don't need to meet on Tuesday, because you're just going to tell me on Tuesday again what you told me today." Did you know that I'm not here to put on a puppet show to entertain all of you so we can say we went to church? I'm to preach the Word of God to you, and you're to listen to it, and God is to use that to help you and I get ourselves corrected. The preaching correct us. The Word of God can correct us. The Spirit of God can correct us. The authorities in our life can correct us. Sometimes it's the law. It's the police. Young people, your parents are there to help correct you. They're there to help you. Your conscience can correct you. Did you know that even your body can send you signals? I mean, there are times when your body is going to tell you, "You're not doing good by me. You're not doing right by me." And so God even puts within your body little corrections that will help you, signals that then there's the reproofs of life, as the book of Proverbs calls them. But folks, God brings into our lives a variety of ways and techniques to correct us. Now, when we were looking at the story in Exodus chapter 3, we seen that God had used frogs and lice and hail and the mange on the animals. But what were all those? Those were just techniques that God was using to correct Pharaoh, to get him thinking right, to get him on track. And you know what the sad part about it is? He was corrected and corrected and corrected and corrected and corrected over the same thing. God said, "Let the people go." He wouldn't listen to and then the technique of correction came, and he still didn't give in. Now, folks, it's one thing for you and I to be corrected. It's a real sad thing if we have to be corrected constantly about the same thing. I guess maybe, could you sense, if you told your child not to do something and they needed corrected once, but then you turned around a minute later and they did it again, and then you corrected them and they turned around a minute later and they did it again, after a while you'd think, you know what, it's not a lack of training anymore, it's not a lack of instruction. There's a word we hate to admit. Maybe it's rebellion. Do you think Pharaoh was being rebellious? The guy wouldn't do what God wanted him to do, and God was correcting him, but he wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. Let me say to everybody in here, you and I are not, we're not pharaohs, but I will tell you this, God may not bring blood, He may not bring lice, He may not bring frogs, it may not be a hailstorm that is water or fire and ice at the same time, but is God repetitively correcting you about the same thing over and over and over again? Might I warn you, the Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There are a lot of ways that God might try to correct you and me. He might correct us using the Word of God or the Spirit of God or the preaching or an authority in life or the law or our parents or our conscience or our body or just the difficulties of life that come upon us. But I am going to say to everybody here, we have got to be careful that we are not like Pharaoh, where God tries to correct us repetitively and we don't listen. Look, it ended up with death in that place. It was terrible. Don't let that happen to you. You say, well, what kind of thing would God constantly correct me about? I'm glad you asked. Are you constantly corrected about your pride? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Are you always right and everybody else always wrong? How often do you hear someone say or allude to your pride problem or your arrogance? Are you constantly corrected about your pride? Do you need no help from anyone? Matter of fact, I think one of the greatest proofs of pride issues is a lack of prayer. So you say, why? Because people that don't pray obviously don't need God. You say, oh, well, so-and-so, he or she is so meek. That has nothing to do with your pride. You could be a quiet person and be full of pride. Because we go to God in prayer because we need somebody other than ourselves. So let me say to everybody in here, those of you that do not pray, whether you would analyze it this way or not, if you're not a praying Christian, then there's some pride that's pretty heavily active in your life. Because if you do not realize you need God, who are you dependent on? Must be yourself. But let me warn everybody here. Are you constantly corrected in life about your arrogance or your pride? Are you always right? I mean, you always have something to say about everything, and you've always got to throw your 2 cents worth in, and you're never quiet enough to let somebody correct you. You always talk back to your boss, and you always talk back to your mom, and you always talk back to your dad. You always talk back to the authorities. You've never gotten a speeding ticket. It was your fault. It's always somebody else. Let me say to you, he that being often reproved, what's it talking about? Being constantly corrected. And everybody in here, so you know, the first point affects everyone. If you say, well, it's not affecting me, it just did. For you to think that you don't have a pride issue, because everybody has pride issues. Everybody has pride issues. Are you constantly corrected with your pride? Number two, are you constantly corrected about your temper? The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Tonight my sermon is about this issue, so I'm not going to spend a long time on it, but I will hit it for the people that won't be back tonight. You'll get a dose of it this morning. Isn't that great? Two for one. Two for one. And the second one's free. Well, the first one's free too. Are you constantly corrected about your temper? Hey, married man, is your temper out of control? Hey, wife, is your temper out of control? Are you always finding yourself needing to apologize because you lost it again? Your words got ahead of your brain, and your brain got ahead of your heart, and your heart got ahead of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. What are you destroying because of your rage? Oh, and I'll tell you something. All you got to do is add the issue of pride to your temper, and you've got a major mess on your hands. Hurtful words come because of a loss of our tempers, our anger. Are you constantly being corrected because you get out of control with your temper? Now, folks, everybody has some frustrations in life, but as Christians, we are to allow the Spirit of God to control our emotions. And I think everybody's going to have moments when your temper gets away from you a little bit. And I'm not talking about that rare occasion where it gets away from you. I'm talking about people who consistently, you've just constantly got to be corrected about your temper. Constantly got to be corrected about your anger. You're constantly losing it with your husband, or you're constantly losing it with your kids, or you're constantly losing it with a brother or a sister. That's a very dangerous way to be living, because the Bible says, he that being often reproved is hardening himself. And God said, there'll come a point when I won't be like the average mom and dad that make the vain, empty threats. You do that again, I'm gonna spank you. You do that again, I'm gonna correct you. That God doesn't work that way. There comes a day when God finally says, that's it. Now, I've told you and told you and told you and told you. There are people in here, you are going to destroy your life because of your pride. There are people in this room, you're going to destroy yourself with your anger and your rage. Get it under control. You say, why would you say it like that? Because you understand how big of a deal it was for God to try to get Pharaoh's attention? He said, I'll turn all the water to blood. What's he trying to do? He said, I'm trying to get your attention so worse things don't come. Boy, hey, Pharaoh did not realize the great mercy that God was showing when all he did was bring some frogs in. They might have said, oh, what a big, bad, terrible God. You might say, preacher, you're just being mean. Let me tell you something. This is nothing. This is only a tool to try to get people's attention so they're not corrected to the point that God has to bring the good big guns in. Hey, let me tell you something. If God decides you're going to have some major, major, major spanking in your life, you're going to get it. And you'll wish that you'd be back in church where I was raising my voice trying to get you not to go there. You'll say, I'd give anything to be back there having the preacher raise his voice right now telling me to knock it off. Hey, constantly corrected. Are you constantly corrected in regard to your pride? Are you constantly corrected in regard to your temper? Hey, are you constantly corrected about your laziness? The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know what that means? Apply yourself. Work hard. I feel bad for you. Most of you are going to go to work somewhere where you've got a bunch of lazy goats. And I don't know where they go to church, but their preacher ought to tell them to get off the stool and on a stick. Their preacher ought to say, get out there and work hard. He said, I'm working harder than everybody else here. You're to work at the full rate of your potential. I had people come tell me, say, if I work too hard at work, everybody would give me a hard time. Well, that's just part of the price that you pay for being an honest person, maybe. Say, well, it's not common to work hard where I work. Then you be uncommon. You're supposed to be a peculiar people. Work hard. Work hard. Are you constantly corrected about your laziness? Do you go to work and the boss have to constantly say to you, shut your mouth, stop talking, and go to work? I've managed enough and I've supervised enough. But you got to constantly tell people, stop talking. Do your work. Stop goofing off. You don't need 20 restroom breaks in the first 4 hours of work. And if you do, you might need to take some medicine and go home. Ah, my. Constantly corrected. Young people, and listen, mom and dad on you constantly about taking care of your room and doing your chores. And if your kids don't have responsibilities and chores at home, you're doing them a disservice. They're going to go to work for somebody in the community. They won't be able to get them to work, and they don't understand responsibility, and they're not required to be on time, and all, you know, all of that. But let me say to every young person here, your parents shouldn't have to get on you and say you're being lazy. You ought to assert yourself. And every young person here, let me tell you something, just so you know. Your mom and dad do not owe you food and a place to live. They're going to do that because they love you. Don't you get the idea that they owe it to me to put food on my plate and they owe it to me to give me clothes. No, you owe them. They gave you life. You owe them to step up, young person, and help clean the house and take out the trash and clean your room and do the things that a young person ought to be doing. Young people don't run the households, especially in Christianity. Moms and dads do. And yeah, and parents are not to submit to the kids. Kids are to submit to the parents. But I say to you, are you constantly corrected about your laziness? Are you the one that you're always going to do it tomorrow? You're going to get that done tomorrow. You got messes everywhere that tomorrow. Matter of fact, why did you even make your New Year's commitment, your resolution? You've already broken it. You had planned on getting this done and accomplishing this and going and doing that. You started your new year. This is what you're going to do. What happened to it? It's going to be put on the back burner like everything else. Laziness. Constantly. Do you know that if they are constantly at work, having to get on you about doing your work, asserting yourself, being productive, you're going to have other people boss you the rest of your life. You're not going to get promotion. You're not going to get raises. And it's a good thing that you don't work for me. You say, why? I'd fire you. You say, what? Uh-huh. Yeah. Constantly corrected. We're constantly corrected about our pride and constantly corrected about our temper and constantly corrected about our laziness. Oh, you're not going to like this one. Remember, I love you. How about your finances? Is it constant, the correction that comes into your life? Paying your bills late. And I realize there are people that have emergencies. I realize there are times that come upon us that we don't have any control over. But pretty well, it's not like that. It's not supposed to be like that for everybody all the time. I'm talking about constantly. You say, it's the same old thing constantly. Look, if it's the same old thing constantly, don't you think it'd make sense to try to fix that? Bounce checks. How often do you have to transfer the balance of this credit card to this credit card to cover this one to balance, and then you transfer the balance of this credit card, trying to run from the payments? Folks, look, you're not supposed to live like that the rest of your life. There comes a point when somebody needs to say, you know what? This is going to stop. You're not supposed to spend what you don't have. And don't spend everything you have. And when the bank says, sure, we'll lend you this, the bank doesn't love you. They don't care. May I say to you, don't borrow everything they'll give you. Don't spend everything you have. I mean, tough times come. And here's the good thing and why I feel a little bit at liberty in saying something like this, folks. This is still America. It's a land of opportunity. Whether you realize it or not, there are jobs out there and there's money out there and there's success available if you work hard. This is not a third world country. There's success and there's opportunity out there. But you know, I can tell you of a family, they don't go to our church. They've never gone to our church. They live in a distant city. They'll call me. And when I pastored them, they'd come see me about once every 4 months. And they would say, preacher, need help with our finances. I sit down, organize, say, pay this bill, pay that bill, pay this bill, cancel that. You don't need it. You're paying way too much money for it. We'd get them on track. But they'd always say to me, now we're only about a month behind. They'd come see me 4 months later. I'd say, how you doing? I said, we're about a month behind. I was their pastor for 12 years. 12 years. They were always a month behind. Once I said, let me take over all your finances. They said, well, for how long? I said, 1 month. All I need is 1 month. And I did. Got them on track. They came to see me 4 months later and said, we're about a month behind. And as you all laugh, you're always trying to bail yourself out. And so you all know my experience. It's limited, but in my experience, most of the time it's not a lack of money. It's a lack of controlling the money that God's given us. The average person does not live by a budget. The average person buys what they want instead of what they need. They're not wise. And I'm your friend. Friend will tell you the truth, but I got to tell you something, folks. Constantly corrected in the area of the finances. Now, there'll come a day when you won't be able to make a bunch of money anymore. You get older, you retire, you get on that fixed income. And just some of you will look back when that time comes, you say, why did I squander the 50 years of my life when I could have gotten this under control, I'd be doing a little better right now. I'm just saying constantly corrected, just constantly, 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 constantly. You know what I'd love for the Lord to be able to do for us? I wish everybody here, I wish God would figure up all the money and all the benefits He's given you and show you the number at this stage in your life. I wish He'd show you the number. God say, this is everything I've given you to date. Now let me see what you show for it. Some of you would be humiliated. You say, I wish I was a millionaire. I'll guarantee you all sorts of people in here have made over $1 million in your lifetime already. Guarantee it. All you got to do is figure out. I mean, how long does it take to get there? You say, well, I barely make any money. $25,000, $30,000 a year. Figure out how many years it takes at $30,000 to get to a million. You say, well, if I had a million, you probably have had. And there are some that will have. Some have had more than that. But because you get it in little pieces and you spend it in big pieces, you don't have anything to show for it. Get it under control. Are you constantly corrected in regard to your character? You say, character, what are we talking about? Oh, your tardiness, your lateness, your inconsistency, your unfaithfulnesses. Keeping your word, never finishing what you start. You can tell a lot about a person, see how many things they start and how many things they finish in life. We're supposed to finish and start constantly corrected. Now, so you know, if there is an area in your life where you're constantly corrected and you say, yeah, it's just constant. So you know, that is one of your major flaws. So if it's an area where you are constantly corrected, there's a major flaw there. I mean, why would God constantly correct it unless it was a major deal? It's a consistent weakness in your life. Are we constantly corrected about our character? Are you an excuse maker or a problem solver? If you just told me, what is it that you deal with on a regular basis that is what's the major challenge for you constantly, then I would say it is definitely a flawed part of your makeup or your plan for life. Are you constantly corrected when it comes to the weaknesses of your life? You know, let's just be honest with each other this morning. Most of you, whatever you struggled with 5 years ago, you still struggle with it today. Matter of fact, most of you, what you struggled with 10 years ago, you still struggle with it today. How long has this been going on? How long has that issue been the one that just keeps coming up and 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 keeps coming up? And young people, let your preacher warn you, get it under control now. I could, if the adults weren't scared to death to stand and testify, they'd stand up and say, you know what, preacher, that pretty well true. I've had a mess of this on my hands year after year after year after year after year after year. The sooner you nip it in the bud, get it under control and attack that weakness, the more apt you are to have victory over it. There are some people in here, you knew it when you were a teenager that you had a weakness, and you'll go to your grave with that weakness, having never conquered it. You say, how am I going to do that? Through the power of God, through the Word of God, through deciding not to be so easy on yourself, taking control of your life, and saying, God, I'm going to conquer this thing. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. You do not have to spend the rest of your life dealing with the same things over and over and over again. You could get it together, have victory in Jesus, and not have to deal with that thing the rest of your life. But constantly corrected. Think about it. If you and I were all in the grandstands watching Pharaoh, I think the day the water turned to blood, I'd be saying, what a fool, man, give in. Let those people go. Let the people go. And when the frogs came, man, I'd hop right on that, baby. I'd say, let them go. Let them go. We would all sit in the grandstands. We'd all sit up there and criticize Pharaoh and say, this guy's a knucklehead. I mean, he fell off the truck. He's damaged in his thinking. What's wrong? Let him go, Pharaoh! I mean, there's no way you're going to pull out of this. I let him go. Oh, no, look at the lice. Oh, no, look at all the flies. Oh, and we're getting hail with fire. I mean, this guy's stupid. Stupid, stupid Pharaoh. Stupid, stupid Pharaoh. Well, why is it you're still dealing with the same thing over and over and over? Is it possible that the angels of heaven are sitting in the grandstand looking down at you saying, "Hey, dumb bunny, wake up! You've been saying you're going to take care of that now for 20 years. Are you constantly corrected about the same sin? Is it your mouth? Boy, can our mouths get us in trouble. What is it? What's your weakness? You might not want to call it that. But if you got to be corrected about it over and over and over and over and over and over again, what do you want to call it? It's a weakness. Attack it. Help it. Are you constantly corrected about constantly being corrected? You say, "Oh, great. Here we go again. Preacher getting on us." Well, look. If you didn't take a cookie out of the cookie jar, and Mom says, "All right, everybody that took a cookie out of the cookie jar ought to feel bad right now. If you didn't take a cookie, you ought not feel bad." Look, if you come to church all the time, and all the time you're guilty of every sin that's being preached on, and you think it's the preacher's problem? So I'll find me another church. You can go find you a church where you can walk out and feel all fuzzy and the preacher can pat you on the head and rub your belly and make you feel good about all the stupid things you're doing to ruin your life. But this one's not for hire like that. I'm supposed to, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the difference between right and wrong. And there are people in here, it's time for some of you to conquer your weaknesses. Look them right square in their own God-given eyeball and say, "Look, with God's help, I'm not going to be corrected about this weakness for the rest of my life. A lack of assertiveness or telling the truth or doing right or getting a job and keeping a job and working hard." And all preachers used to preach like this before they sewed lace on their underclothes and put their tail between their legs and run hide behind all their excuses in life. Look, folks, as Christians, the Bible says we're to be more than conquerors. And we can do this. And you don't have to join a support group. You can get your Bible out and show up in church and say, "God, help me. I'm not going to let this financial stuff over and over and over and over again destroy me. And I'm not going to let my temper get the best of me." And whether it's my passion or my, hey, look, you say, I have passions that are wrong morally. Get them under control. You can with the help of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Someone said to me one time, they said, I lie, I don't know what to do. Preacher, what can I do about lying? Can I suggest that you tell the truth? Why is everybody looking for some sort of a solution that comes out of a psychology book? How about obey God? How about do the right thing? And again, I'm here to help. But every once in a while, you know what happened? Pharaoh, God started and he said, I'm going to correct. Pharaoh wouldn't get it straightened out. God corrected some more and corrected some more and corrected some more. Eventually, something died. Something died. Hey, I don't want your dream to die. As God has tried to get you on track and keep you on track, if you ignore that, the verse says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." God is saying, something's going to be destroyed here. You're going to lose big time. So having the preacher in an assertive way say to you, "Get it under control," he's doing you a favor. Because God said, if I've got to keep coming back to you and saying, "Fix that, now fix that, now fix that." And God gives you a little nudge here and a little bump there trying to get you on track and you won't do it. Eventually, something's going to be destroyed. Now, God's not going to take your salvation away from you, because once you have it forever. But you are going to lose rewards and blessing and opportunity. There are some of you, you will not succeed until you correct what's wrong. You say, "What's keeping me from succeeding?" Something might need to be corrected. You say, "And I hope God can correct her." No, sir. Not her. "Well, I hope God will correct him." No. First person to look at is you. There are Sundays when I want us to leave here and just be as happy and cheerful and victorious as we can be. There are some Sundays we probably ought to leave with a challenge in our heart to conquer some things in our lives. Are you still dealing with some of those things that you were dealing with years ago? Let's figure out a way to make some advancement on conquering them. Hey, do you feel constantly corrected about your need of salvation? Do you come into church and hear me talk about being saved and you say, I need, every time I come in here, I'm convicted about that thing. Look, once you're saved, you're saved. But if every time you come to church, you're troubled about your salvation. And I don't try to talk anybody out of their salvation. But if you're saved, there's a security that comes along with it. And could I recommend to you that if you're always wondering, am I or am I not, if you need to talk with someone, let us talk to you about it and get it settled. I don't spend my life worrying about my salvation. Jesus saved me, and I'm real good with that, and I'm secure in that. And I don't always do right by Him, but He's never done wrong by me, especially in regard to my salvation. But if you're here and you say, every time I go to church, I feel bad about this thing of going to heaven, maybe you ought to let somebody help you check into it. Because if you feel constantly corrected about salvation, you might want to check and let someone show you the Scripture and you make sure that you've trusted Christ. And there's a lot of people confused about it anyway. There's some people think, well, I joined the church, so I'm saved. I'm so sorry. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach join a church and be saved. You say, but I gave some money to the church, so I believe God saved me. You don't get saved by giving money. You say, I've been doing a good job. Doing a good job. I'm glad you do a good job. There's going to be a lot of people that do a good job that go to hell. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior that saves you. Not by works of righteousness which you have done. But it's His mercy that's going to save you. Are you saved? Constantly corrected. When I say, parent, be careful. Be careful saying, you do that again, I'm going to ground you. You do that again, I'm going to take that toy away from you. You do that again, I'm going to... You're not getting anywhere that way. But just so you know, God's not like that. God says, there's coming a moment when I will have corrected you all. I'm going to correct you about it. And then you're going to suffer a loss that's going to be devastating to you because of it. Don't let that happen to you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The sermon, constantly corrected. It affects us all. The younger you are as a Christian and the younger you are as a human being, can I recommend to you, get your weaknesses and get those flaws under control now. Because there are adults in this room that dealt with weaknesses as a teenager. They've never taken care of them and they are still major weaknesses in their lives at age 30, 40, 50, and 60. Get them under control. And to every adult here, you say, if I were younger, I might be able to overcome this. You can overcome it. Because Jesus can help. Jesus knows no age. Jesus can help you overcome. He said, I've got a drinking problem. Jesus can help you overcome. He said, I've got a drug problem. Jesus can help you to overcome. I have a pornography problem. Jesus can help you to overcome. But we've got to get him under control. We've got to fight back. Constantly corrected. Who here today, first of all, would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you. Then how about this question? What Christian here today would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today. Boy, He has spoken to me. There's some things that maybe I need to work on. He's corrected me about some things a little more consistently, and I recognize it, and I better get to work on some of them and put a little more into getting them fixed. Has God spoken to your heart? Would you raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian, but there's some things I better get on a little bit. I see that correction from God. It comes and it comes and it comes. I don't want to be as dumb as Pharaoh. I don't want to do what Pharaoh did. I don't want something to be destroyed. You may put those hands down. I promise you, if you ever face something and you're wondering how to overcome it, if you ever want to talk with me, I'd be glad to show you some things that will help you. And don't give up. Hey, and look. If you're facing tough times, I don't think that all tough times is something that God brought upon you. You know, sometimes we go through tough times just to be an example to someone else. I'm not saying that you've sinned and there's a tough time in your life because you've sinned. I am saying, though, there are sometimes the tough times come upon us, because of our sin, because we don't care for our flaws. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play and we're going to stand. If you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? Maybe you've not used the altar in a long time. Maybe you ought to come up here and get on your knees. Come as far forward as you can and say, Lord, help me. I see you've been constantly correcting me about some things, and I really want your help, God. I want to fix some things. Please help me. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, God, help me? I do need to work on some things. I see some areas of constant correction. Just come and ask for the Lord's help. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to make right for my life. I want to do right with my life. Say, Lord, help me. I've got to get this under control. What topic that is preached from the pulpit is just, it constantly eats at you. That sin, that weakness, it's mentioned and it digs in you over and over and over again. Let's get it under control. And I'm not talking about a vain or a prideful solution. I'm talking about you going to God very humbly and saying, Lord, I see it. I see that weakness in my life. I've got to get it under control. I want your help. Some of you are so indecisive that you floundered in life to now, and you're going to flounder for a long time to come until you start just locking down and saying, okay, I know how to make right decisions and I'm going to make them. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in decision limbo and be nothing. I'm going to make right decisions. Constantly corrected. He that being often reproved. What is that? It's correction after correction after correction after correction. This will be the last time through our song we'll pray and be dismissed.